WHFC presents Career Explorers, where we connect students and the public with information about different occupations. It's part of our ongoing effort to keep you in the know, and the more you know, the better. Especially if you're considering a career in healthcare. And I think that's a unanimous vote for all doctors, wouldn't you?
Yes.
Say doctor? Yes, I'd say. I'd say so. So let's say the eyes have it. Ha ha ha.
Ha ha ha.
Literally, if you're an optometrist, you're an eye doctor, and you'll be helping people see better throughout Harford County and so much, much more in this occupation. And I want to welcome our information specialist on the show today, Dr. Judy Holloway, local optometrist and the owner of Holloway Eye Care here in Harford County. Dr. Holloway, thanks so much for coming on to Career Explorers.
Thank you so much, Matt. It's great being here.
Well, we have a couple of questions here for you today, and it's going to be about something I think that's near and dear to your heart, which is optometry. Give me a little bit of background on yourself. Why did you want to become an optometrist? What, you know, kind of attracted you to the profession?
Well, ironically enough, I grew up here in Harford County in okay. Darlington, Maryland.
All right.
Have very deep roots in agriculture.
Okay.
So you think, well, what's that have to do with optometry? And so very deep roots in agriculture, grew up on a farm, but never felt that that was quite the direction I wanted to go. Absolutely loved the way I grew up. It was awesome. Still go back to the farm several times a week. But science always intrigued me, and particularly healthcare. And I think, now granted, I'm going to show my age here, upper 50s, but I remember distinctly a birthday where I received a doctor's toolkit.
Okay.
And ever since then, that was something I ran around holding a clipboard, pretending I had patients. And so definitely I thought in the healthcare direction. Went to Loyola College for undergraduate studies.
Great place.
Was a biology major, thinking that's what all medical school students must do. And I find out later that's not necessarily the path they take, but that was the path I took. And it was actually an advisor that I had who somewhere around sophomore year, I believe, in undergraduate, that, you know, sat us down and talked to us, what kind of career path are you thinking? Are you thinking medical school? Are you thinking dental school? Are you thinking physical therapy, occupational therapy? And some of these careers I didn't even know anything about. And he was the one that actually mentioned eye care, so optometry specifically. And from that path forward, he gave what I think is a phenomenal recommendation for anyone considering any particular type of career, is go shadow someone.
All right.
And that's what I did.
And then from there?
Yes.
History. So it sounds like it just kind of it stemmed from some childhood experiences.
It really did. It goes pretty far back.
Deep roots in agriculture.
Yes.
And then a passion for science.
Yes.
And boom, optometry. And, you know, that leads me to kind of that next question of mine. A lot of times students think it's just, boom, that straight line to the occupation. And it isn't that way all the time.
No, not at all. And in fact, if I'm honest, having grown up in 4-H, which a lot of agricultural kids do, farm kids do,
sure.
I picture me showing beef cattle and pigs when I was from age 8 to 18. That has nothing to do with eye care. But I also took a number of different projects that you take in 4-H, one of which was sewing. I started sewing when I was 8 years old, and if I must say so myself, I'm a bit accomplished at it. So fashion design was also something that really intrigued me. And let me tell you, you talk about that straight line. For me, it was more like a zigzag, because I really, I couldn't decide which route I wanted to go. And I can honestly say that I was halfway through Loyola College, finished my sophomore year, and thought, I don't know if this is for me. And I was doing great. I was a model student, but I actually applied to another school. And in fact, it's Virginia Tech. I applied to Virginia Tech, look at fashion merchandising, fashion design, got accepted. And then in the 11th hour, when I had to make the decision, I decided, no, I'm going back to science. So very much a zigzag path.
And that kind of is something that is pretty prevalent, I
yes.
think, in America, because there's a lot of this mental entropy and chaos, a lot of pressure.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think we're, you know, at the tender age of what, when we graduate from high school, 18, I think it's really difficult to think, what do you want to do for the rest of your life?
Yeah.
It's so difficult. So I think instead of having a fixed mindset of this is what I'm going to do and I have to go that straight line path, I think you have to constantly have a growth mindset and know that you might change. Your path might change. Don't be afraid to think outside the box. Find out what you're passionate about, where your strengths lie, and try and go in that direction. And know that, hey, if it changes, because who knows? I'm an optometrist right now. Who knows what I might do after retirement?
There you go.
Go back to sewing? Who knows?
Yeah, there you go. Absolutely. But no, I like that because you're telling students to remain pliable.
Yes.
And to be open.
Yes.
And open-minded, because we are more than the sum of our parts.
Correct.
And that it's perfectly normal to feel some of that pressure and to feel some of that confusion.
Oh, absolutely. Without question.
Let's say if I'm that student, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking optometry. People often want to know, you know, what does like that average day-to-day kind of, you know, situation look like, you know? Tell me a little bit about what that new budding optometrist, what can they expect on the job?
Right. So the first thing that I would say about optometry is I think you have to like people, honestly. You can't be afraid of talking to people. I think that's one of my actual strengths is I really enjoy my patients for who they are. I learn about their families because usually in optometry, that's one really nice thing. You not only meet that one person, but if you do well with that one person, you're probably going to meet their spouse or their significant other or their mother, father, their children and extended family. So that's really cool. But the day in the life of the optometrist, well, I enjoy seeing approximately, I'd say, 19 to 20 patients a day. Depending. And you're certainly assessing the health of their eye. You're taking care of their immediate needs when it comes to help me see better, whether it's glasses, contact lenses, laser vision correction. We don't do that, but we refer readily for that. You have a strong network of doctors that you work with, medical doctors that you refer patients to for their surgical care. That's kind of what the day looks like. But again, I would start with the fact that you're going to be talking to a lot of people in the course of a day about a lot of different things. And you have to like talking to people. And of course, in the background, you have to love the science, the math that comes along with it, the physics.
Yeah, absolutely. You're doing very technical and scientific work here.
And it's so funny when patients want you to explain, which I'm a big explainer. I think that patients should know what you're doing at all times and explaining why you're doing it.
Right.
I have a few that might be a little, I don't need to know this. And you immediately read your patient and you don't talk through everything. But lots of people want to know what you're doing, so they feel comfortable. They like to understand. And I think it's funny when they want you to explain every little number. The engineers by career will come in and they'll have plot sheets of their of their last 15 prescriptions, and they want to know why it is a certain way. And that's kind of funny. But it is true that sometimes I just have to I explain as best I can. But then I say, by the way, I had 2 years of theoretical optics. So it took 2 years for me to understand this 100%. But
And that just kind of leads me, I think, to that next question pretty logically. There's some other skills, really.
Yes.
There's some other life skills that you should have if you're going to be a doctor of optometry or any kind of doctor, for that matter. What kind of other life skills would you maybe then recommend to that prospective student to acquire?
Well, I would definitely recommend, obviously, I think, with what I do on a day-to-day basis, you do have to like science.
Sure.
you do have to like math. In optometry, physics is helpful because of all the optics that are involved in optometry. But then as far as life skills go, one of the prerequisites for optometry school is a psychology course at a minimum, because you do deal with people. And let's face it, there are many different types of people out there.
Yeah.
And so psychology is very helpful. I have recommended, even to my children, who none of which, by the way, are interested in optometry, which is okay with me. Okay. I have recommended to my children that I think for anyone, getting some base level business courses is important, because I never imagined myself being a businesswoman. I always thought I'm going to be an optometrist. Always imagined working for someone else, and then kind of was thrust into private practice and had to learn very quickly a lot of different business skills, accounting skills, finance skills. And so I think that's wonderful if you can somehow get a basic level of business.
And I was just
background.
I was just about to say, I mean, you know, you're an entrepreneur as,
exactly.
as well. And
yeah.
you know, having entrepreneurship under your belt.
Correct.
That's something that can just only help you later on.
Yes,
you know?
Absolutely.
So, and I think, and there's some benefits too to having your own practice, right? You know,
very definitely.
You can make the call if it's a snow day, right? You know.
Yeah, I don't always like doing that though.
No,
but
no,
yes.
Yeah.
We don't have that many in Maryland, thankfully.
No, we don't, and especially lately. You know, but then again, by the time someone listens to this podcast, we may be
we may
10
have
feet.
Some.
Yeah, it may be the you know
oh,
the
not.
Storm of the century. But I hope not either. But no, that's really good to know, because those are some insider things that, you know,
mm-hmm.
people who are investigating these careers, they may not necessarily, you know, be thinking, oh, you know, maybe I want to open my own practice. Maybe I want to have my own business, you know, and if I don't have any business and managerial skills, I need to get hold of some of
right.
these, you know.
And know, too, that those can be learned later. You don't necessarily have to do them when you're between the ages of 18 and 26, but you can learn along the way, too. Get good mentors. I mean, that's always, I am a huge proponent of find your mentors and really learn their skill set if you can. Learn from their skill set.
And learning from other people.
Yes.
Yeah, that's because they've done it. They've been
yes.
there, you know. So
yeah.
Like you said, open yourself
correct.
Up to different people.
Correct.
So we have so many different people here at Hartford Community College. Some of the students are younger, some of them older.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me a little bit, Dr. Holloway, is that, let's say if I'm near that late 30s, early 40s student, you know.
Right.
Is it possible to go back for
absolutely.
Optometry?
So I was pretty much the traditional student. You know, I went straight from high school to undergrad, from undergrad straight to graduate school. I didn't do any gap years, went straight through. But I tell you, I was in graduate school with some adults that were married, that had children, sometimes multiple children, had been in totally different careers, finance, economics. And I was incredibly impressed with how they did what they did, because I thought, how did they juggle this? This is hard. But you know what? They made it happen. And so, yes, I don't know that it's ever too late. I will say that it's an investment of 8 years, because you do, for optometry school, you do have to have an undergraduate degree. Doesn't necessarily have to be a Bachelor of Science, could be a Bachelor of Arts, but there are some prerequisites that you have to have. But 4 years of undergrad, that could be 2 years of community college at HCC and
there
2 years elsewhere to get your bachelor's.
There you go. There
I'll
you
plug
go.
Away for HCC a little bit there. But yes, it is an investment, but it's also an investment in your future. I remember my dad once told me that, and I thought this was just such sound advice, that every year that you spend in your education is money spent, yes. It's also, if you're not juggling a job, it's also money that you're not making in a job. So choose your path wisely and make sure that you can make up for it in the end. And so I think that's smart.
And no, that's a very, very sound piece of advice, because that's return on investment.
Correct.
Know, your ROI. And I mean, optometry, we're talking a cost of living wage there.
Correct. Yeah. Optometrists do very well. I was looking up because, let's face it, it's been a while since I was in school. I graduated from optometry school in 1991. And to be perfectly honest, I think I had my head in the sand. I can't recall what the education costs. I know we did come out of school with some loans.
Right.
But, and there are scholarships available too, and certainly financial aid. But the average optometry school student for just optometry school, so this isn't the 4 years that precede that, but for optometry school is going to spend somewhere in the realm today in 2022 of $187,000.
Wow.
So it's an investment.
Yeah.
No doubt. But I looked up the average salary of an optometrist. Now, this can vary widely because it varies according to demographic and mode of practice and how hard you want to work.
Sure.
But the average salary of an optometrist ranges anywhere between $100,000 and $180,000 a year. So, and there are many perks and benefits to that as well.
So we're talking a cost of living wage.
Yes.
You get to help people see better throughout their lifetime.
Yes.
You're caring for people. It's a win-win right there.
I agree. So. It really is a rewarding career. And as in any career, it is what you make it. But I honestly can say I look forward every day to going in, meeting another group of people, seeing all perhaps the established people that I've seen for years and years and learning what's new and different and meeting a lot of new people. So it's fun. That's the bottom line. It's fun. It's challenging.
Optometry, according to the U.S. Bureau of Labor of Statistics, saying 9% job growth up to the year 2030. So there's room to grow.
There is. And I looked that up too before I came here. I think the other thing is, have you ever looked at the satisfaction, job satisfaction, like the happy level of jobs? Optometry is pretty far up there, which is a great thing.
So, in your experience, work-life balance, pretty good, right?
It is. It very definitely is.
Let me ask you this, though.
Oh, no.
Yes.
He has a serious look, folks.
this is possibly the biggest question, you know. We did touch on this a little bit with the education requirements.
Yes.
You know, you said you need a four-year, right? And then you go to optometry school.
Mm-hmm.
How long is optometry school?
Oh, 4 years.
It is another 4 years.
It is another four years. Now, typically the last full calendar year is you are doing rotations. So you go to a number of different practices.
Okay.
And that's a clinical year. But the first 3 years are didactic. I say that pretty much the first year is all didactic, meaning classroom time. And then after that, you're balancing both didactic and clinical. So usually the optometry schools, at least the one that I was at, and I think most of them here in the U.S., have an eye hospital right on campus or close by. When I went to school, there were only 13 optometry schools in the United States. And I happened to be at the number one, which is so exciting right here in Philadelphia. I didn't want to venture far from home. But now there are 24 in the United States. So obviously the career of optometry is growing. They had to build more schools, get more schools accredited to meet the demand. Optometrists are the primary caregivers, is the lingo that we use for eye care. We're, so to speak, the gatekeepers. And then when we need to send patients on, they go to ophthalmology, which are medical doctors. I've never been a MD wannabe. That was a term we used in school. Personally, I didn't want to do surgery, so this was a good niche for me. But yes, we do refer out for surgery. So,
let me ask you this. What's one thing that you know now that they didn't teach you an optometry school that you would want to pass along? What do you recommend to that prospective student who's looking to become an optometrist? What advice do you give to them?
I think it honestly goes back to business. Learn business. Because when I went to optometry school, there were no business courses. And again, I didn't think I would practice in that mode. I thought I'd be an employee. And which I was for the first 10 years I practiced. I practiced at Delaware Ophthalmology Consultants, which I'll give them a little plug. They were a phenomenal practice. multi-surgeon group practice, and I was the sole OD for a while, a doctor of optometry, and it was kind of neat. But I think, yes, I think that's the one thing that they did not teach us in school. And they may have changed that, to be perfectly honest, because I think that was a common feedback that most optometry school students, graduated seniors, gave, is that we needed some business acumen and we didn't get it at school.
Well, it's those little things, right? Yeah. You know, it's finding out those little things, because they can be a big deal later.
Yes.
So let's say all those 8 years pass, right? Mm-hmm. I've done my clinicals. I have my degree. Where do I go to find employment?
Wow. Well, you have to think about how you want to practice, first and foremost. Do you want to be an employee? Do you want to start cold, which as a private practice? Do you want to be in a group? Do you want to be in an interdisciplinary group, which is what I chose, where I wanted to work with both medical doctors and doctors of optometry? So I chose the interdisciplinary route. But my goodness, you can get a job from one coast, the West Coast, to the East Coast, and North and South. You can even move outside the country and see if your license has reciprocity, because okay. You do have to get licensed.
All right.
But gosh, you can just about go anywhere. You could be hospital-based. You could be in a clinic. You could do service hours. I mean, you can donate your time and travel to Haiti, travel to, you know, anywhere. And because my daughter actually did a medical mission trip. And so that's something that I learned was a passion of one of my fellow students that I graduated with. And so she balances work as a regular optometrist in Pennsylvania, but she takes, I think, a month out of her year, and she does medical mission trips. So you really, again, you just think outside the box. How is it that you want to practice? And you look for it. Job search. There's the Maryland Optometric Association. I think every state has a professional association. There's certainly American Optometric Association, and they have career boards. So you just have to explore.
And it sounds like I'll have no problems if I'm that
optometry student. No, you will not have a problem getting a job. I think one of the neat things that I saw as a woman was that when I went to optometry school, it was... my entering class was about 50-50, 50% male, 50% female. And I think they were shooting for that at that time, because it was very much a male-dominated field for years. And now I hear it's more 70% female, 30% men.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Hey, ladies.
So the dynamic has changed. So men, if you want to find a spouse or an
There you go. All right, that might work. No, this is great. You know, this is some girl power.
Yes,
right. You know,
there's a little bit of girl power.
I can't thank you enough, Dr. Holloway, for coming on to the Career Explorers.
It's been my
podcast. Pleasure.
I
want to have you back again. You're so fun. I want to thank my guest today, Dr. Judy Holloway, for coming on to Career Explorers, and I want to thank you also for listening. So please like and subscribe to all three of HCC's official podcasts, HCC 360, Feedback, and this one, WHFC Presents. For Career Explorers, I'm Matt Terry. Until next time, stay curious, Hartford.